Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or maybe you could come join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We're right here off 31W, and we just appreciate so much all the visitors and our members and just the great way that the Spirit of the Lord is moving in His people and looking to accomplish great works through lives that are consecrated and sacrificed unto the Lord. We believe in Jesus here at Rallets. We believe in Him being our Lord and our Savior. Our Lord is first. He's our Lord. He's our commander. He's our great leader is Christ. Christ is the head of Rallets Baptist Church. We're just a country church. We want to exalt Jesus. We've got a missionary heart, and we're dedicated to sharing that love of Christ with everyone that we come in contact with. If you didn't know, you're kind of getting caught up with us. We're starting through the book of 1 Corinthians, just kind of looking. We've been doing that through Sunday mornings. Through Wednesday evenings, we've been looking through the Gospel of John. On Sunday mornings, we're going to go through 1 Corinthians. And I was almost tempted to say it was just going to kind of be a jet tour through Corinthians, but it's too good. It's too good. It's too deep. It's too vital. Corinthians is a book that wants to draw unity. It wants to draw unity in the body of believers. It wants to draw unity in marriages, in relationships. And you know, God, He's not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace. And so I think as we go through this book of 1 Corinthians, it's going to challenge us. It's going to help us. It's going to give us advice from the very heart of God. I've heard preachers say this, and I understand why. They say something along the lines of, "Let me share my heart with you on this matter." I tell you, I can do better than that. I can share with you God's heart. And so you can too. I want you to know I'm not calling myself some sort of a divine prophet or anything. The Word of God is there. It's ready to be opened, and you can know the mind of Christ. You can know through the power of the Holy Spirit what it means to be able to fall into the will of God. And so I want to challenge you to go with me as we look through 1 Corinthians. Let's just share the first three verses together this morning, and then we'll go from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. R.C. Sproul said something that really struck me. It really made me think about something, and I want to share this quote with you. He says this, "Our culture is embedded in proud mediocrity." Proud mediocrity, that almost seems like they're against one another, don't they, those two words? He said, "Our culture is embedded in proud mediocrity. Junk art, junk music, junk thinking. And we've accommodated it with a junk church." I understand what he's saying there when he said that. I want you to know that today it's not okay to be satisfied with a mediocre church. It's not okay to be satisfied with just things going along and swimmingly and not really running into any trouble, not really having any excitement either. I'll tell you, sometimes, folks, I've been encouraged when there's a little bit of a trouble in the church, because at least that means that somebody's doing something. I tell you today, I think one of the worst things that we get involved with, one of the things that causes us to take a step back is to be complacent in our church life, to be complacent in our spiritual life. And I oftentimes switch those words in and out, because they ought to be interchangeable. We shouldn't be able to talk about church without talking about something that's Spirit-filled. Today, folks want to be able to, I've heard preachers take whole sermon series on what's wrong with the church and what's going on with the church. But really and truly, folks, if we'll let the Holy Spirit be in control, and we'll let the Holy Spirit do what He desires to do in our lives, everywhere we go is going to be church, because we are the church. It's not about four walls and pews and paintings on the wall. It's about a body of believers who are all covered under one blood. And I want you to have a correct definition of what the church is. Paul is writing to the church in 1 Corinthians. Now, you remember in Acts chapter 18, we saw the establishing of the church in Corinth. That man named Crispus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came to know the Lord. Then we even see Sosthenes a little later on in chapter 18, as a leader of that same synagogue, was beaten and left lying in the street. And then Paul comes along, and now we find him right here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. So there's two synagogue leaders who were led to Christ by Paul's witness of what God had done in his life. I want you to know the Apostle Paul never saved anybody, and if we were to accuse him of that, then he would be very, very quick to cause us to hush our mouths when it came to that. Paul wanted us to know that we're saved by grace alone, in through faith alone, in Christ alone. Any other name, any other description you put in front of the word gospel perverts it. Gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has met God's qualifications, and therefore by imputing that righteousness unto us, we can be saved. And we need to have a correct definition of what we're saved from. We're not necessarily saved. Yes, we are saved from the fires of hell, but that's not the most prevailing thing. Yes, we are saved from addictions, and we're saved from lying and cussing and hating our neighbors. All those things are good. All those things are awesome. But first and foremost, Paul the Apostle would have you to know that you are saved from the wrath of God. God has a wrath against sin. You and I being imperfect, even on your best day, dear friend, Jesus Christ had to die for your sins. On your best day, you weren't good enough. On the greatest day of your life, when you did everything that you think you did just right, then I want you to know there were motives behind some of the things you did that caused those actions to be imperfect. Therefore, you were not holy. You were not sanctified. Christ came to die for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has given us what we could not attain on our own. And that's perfection. So I stand in a right standing, justified before God because of what Christ has done for me. And that's the only reason. Not any of my works, good or bad. Not any of the deeds that I've performed. Not any of the things I've learned about the Bible. All those things are good, except they can't save me. It took perfection. And only one man has ever been perfect, and that's Christ. So, we don't need to accommodate just a lackluster love affair with Jesus. Now, you know, I know men, so often we don't like those words. You go to talking about being in a love affair with Jesus, or Jesus, the lover of our souls, and that sort of thing. I mean, it's just got all kinds of connotations that go along with it. And we find it as men, we just sort of want to buck up against that. You know, a lot of our churches are kept open today because of dear faithful women. Now, I wonder why that is. I know why. One reason, I believe, is because women are easier to get intimate with. It seems as if they'll open up their hearts just a little easier. They don't have a lot of this tough guy issues that men have. I want you to know, maybe you've been trying to be a tough guy. Maybe you've been trying to handle a lot of things on your own. You've been strong up to this point. But, dear friend, I want you to know that the strongest legs in this world cannot carry the burdens of a heavy heart. I want you to know that there's only one person that you can bring that to that's going to help you to carry that, that's going to take that yoke and make it easier on you. And that man was named Christ. That man was named the Lord Jesus. And He came to make us free. He came to be the propitiation of our sins, to provide everything that was needed. We need the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther said the Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. It must come from the Holy Spirit. And so we look at verse 1 and we see something that's very critical in our understanding of reading the Bible. The world wants you to see everything in relation to how that affects you. It wants to advertise. It wants to advertise vehicles and get you to imagine how you're going to look in that vehicle and how the world is going to associate with you through that relationship. We see that through health foods. Through exercise and dieting, they want you to see how you're going to feel, how you're going to be in relation to all these things that if you do this and this and this, then you'll have a better body, you'll have a better outlook, and therefore the world will relate to you better. It's all about you, you see. Insurance, they provide safety from casualties so that you can be comforted in time of need. The Bible is unique. And that is the only thing. It's not asking you about you. It's telling you about God. It's telling you what you must do in order to meet God's requirements. And by doing that, it shows you how short you have come and how little we appear before this big God. And therefore, we see the great need of a Savior. The Bible forces us to consider ourselves in relation to God. Now, Paul's writing here from a great point of confidence. Throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is required to defend his apostolic calling. He is on the defense several times throughout this Bible, even here in verse 2, beginning very quickly. In verse 1, Paul says, "I'm called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ." I want you to know that if you're a Christian this morning, that wherever you are is where God intends you to be. I want you to be able to say that my name is Joe, and I'm a factory worker called by God for the glory of Christ. I want you to be able to say my name is Sarah, and I'm a housewife. I've been called by God to be a housewife to the glory of Christ. I want you to be able to say my name is Kenny, and I'm a mechanic to the glory of God and for the glory of Christ. I want you to be able to embrace these things where you're at and not fight against them. I want you to see that God has uniquely placed each and every person in your life to minister in that area. If you're a Christian, then you're not just a factory worker, you're a missionary that's sent into that factory to tell other people about Jesus Christ. If you're a nurse, you're not just a nurse so you can make money and have a career. If you're a Christian, then you're called as a missionary to those people in that hospital or in that emergency room, that you might be the voice of God in that place. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, whatever it is you might be, if you're a Christian, then you are first and foremost underneath the thumb of God, and you're a missionary before you are anything else. And where the field that God has placed you in is ripe for harvest. It's white, friends, and it's time that we go out and we begin to glean things for God. We need to see the great commission as something that's so impertinent and imperative, and it's something that must happen right now. We can't lose our focus on the fact that there are lost people in every area in Horse Cave right now. There are men and women who do not know Jesus as Savior. In Mumfordville, there are people right now that you're driving by, that you're sitting by, that's in the same room as you are, and they don't know about Christ. And they've got a misunderstanding about what their relationship is to this holy God. And it's our duty to put on display the grace that was given to us so that we might be ambassadors for Christ. Paul knows who he is. He's called to be an apostle. Now the same question has to come to us. Do we know who we are? And you may have been years seeking out what it is you wanted to do in life. But if you're a Christian, I can answer your question for you very quickly. You're a missionary. You've been called to be a testimony, a living testimony of Christ. That's who you are. You can't be a Christian and not be a witness. If you're not a witness, you need to evaluate what your stance is. And not just put your faith and hope in a prayer you said somewhere. Put your faith and hope in Christ. Not just put your faith and hope in attending church and attending Sunday school or being a deacon or being a preacher. Those things will get you nowhere. Faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. That's what saves. He knows why he's here. He knows why he's here. He's here to be a witness. He's called to be a saint. Now, I always had a bit of an issue with that because I can't look at my heart. Even now, I've been preaching. Let's see, I was at Pleasant Valley 3 years as associate pastor there, Brother Robbie Ward, and I've been here at Rallet 6 years, so that's 9 years I've been in the ministry preaching. Before that, in 2000, I really got back into church. So this is 11 years. Since I've been serving the Lord with a whole heart, I know why I'm here. You need to know why you're here. Paul knows how he got here through Christ Jesus. You need to remember that if you're saved, how it is you got there. It wasn't by works or deeds. It was by an old... Now watch this. I'm going to offend. I'm kind of glad. This gives me an opportunity. Thank you there, radio station. I'm kind of glad to be able to offend somebody this morning. If you think that the cross of Christ is offensive, good. Because you can't be saved until you've been offended enough by God to be able to see that He's right and you're wrong. I tell you, that's offensive for a lot of folks to be told that they're wrong in any way, shape, or form. But friends, I've been wrong so long it just feels right. And I want to be able to say, you know what? I don't have a thing figured out about how I'm going to get near God. I've got to put my faith and my hope in Christ. I trust Him to have it all figured out. I just know what the Bible says. If I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, then I will be saved. And friend, that's all I've got. That's all I've got to stand on. There's a lot of things we can conjure out. There's a lot of things we can do and learn and grow in grace and knowledge and be more edifying and more useful to the church of Christ. But friends, I want you to know that today there are some things you just got to take on faith, and some things you just got to do. You got to step out there, and I want you to know that there's joy in that. I want you to know there's delight in that. I've been freed up to serve my Lord with everything that I am and everything that I've got, and I'm going to preach passionately. I'm going to love passionately. I'm going to do these things for the glory of God, and I'll let Him take care of all the other stuff. Whether to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul knows how he got here. I know how I got where I'm at. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He knows where he come from. He knows where he come from. He knew that he came out of a legalistic background that was going to do nothing more than heap a bunch of rules and regulations on top of him and cause him to be burdened with religion instead of being set free by Christ. That's the thing we need the most. He knew where he came from, and he knows where he's going. I want you to see the way that Paul words verse 2. He said that those who are sanctified. He's talking the local church at Corinth. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now watch this. He opens it up. With all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Did you know that if you are saved from the wrath of God, if you've been born again, if you are a believer, then you have got brothers and sisters who are a different color than you are. You have got brothers and sisters who speak different languages than you do. You've got brothers and sisters whom you will spend eternity with and beside, praising a holy God that are walking around barefooted in the villages of South America, or they're somewhere in the ruins of Greece, they're somewhere in the deserts of Africa, they're somewhere in the tundra of Russia, they're all over this world. Paul wants you to say, yes, you're a local church, but you're a part of something much bigger. All those in every place who have been saved are part of the church. And I want you to know, if your church is teaching that it's got to be their way and it's got to be their standards and it's got to be their man-made rules, it's got to be in their revival or on their altar or in their baptistry, then they're not part of the church. Paul said that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God, and that's the only requisite. It must be through Christ alone. If it's through Jesus Christ, it's not for you and I to judge. When somebody tells you they have trusted Christ and that they're born again by the Spirit of God, then you have no right to sit in the judgment seat and tell them they've not been saved. You can go ahead and write you a dirty letter if you want to, but I'm going to stand by that statement. I want you to see something else in verse 2. He said something here, and I hope some of you are deeper thinkers than I've been preaching. Because sometimes we need to be deeper thinkers. We need to think, not just react on emotions. Look in the middle of verse 2. Paul said to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. We know that justification happens at the moment that we trust Christ. that we're justified before a holy God just as if we'd never sinned. In other words, this, Jesus Christ's perfection is automatically imputed to those who have believed and trusted on Him, and the wrath of God has subsided. The wrath of God's, all of its demands have been met, and we're justified before God. Here, Paul said sanctified in Christ Jesus. Is he replacing the process of justification with the process of sanctification? This is for you. This is for you thinkers out there. Sanctification happens after justification, wherein that we are conformed to the likeness of Christ and made more into the image of His Son by the renewing of our mind day after day, that we're being conformed unto the likeness of Christ. Is Paul saying that we have to reach a point in that sanctification, and that we have to get to a certain area before it is that we can be justified before God? In other words, is he replacing the process of faith alone by works? I want you to know that's a resounding no. Paul is saying that whatever point in sanctification that you have reached after your justification, then that's as far along the journey as God intended you to be. I want you to know that the thief on the cross went to heaven even though he met no requirements that we can see of sanctification. But it was part of God's sovereign and divine plan that that thief on the cross reached the point of sanctification that he needed in order to be saved. He needed to look into the eyes of Christ and say, "Forgive me, look over me, take me with you." And Jesus said unto him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There are others who have been in Christ for years and years and years. They've become prayer warriors. They've become men and women of God, men and women that the church has built its foundations upon, and they've been sanctified more under the image of Christ. But I want you to know that the thief on the cross was just as much of a saved Christian as the man that's been a Christian for 55 years. I want you to know that there is no partiality with God, that He sees one as He sees all, and the ground at the foot of the cross is level ground. And so Paul's not offering confusion by giving clarity. We are justified through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. The moment you're born again, you're completely freed from the wrath of God. If within moments of that happening, you are sanctified enough to be at peace with God, while sanctification is a lifelong process in becoming more like Jesus, there's not a point in that process that you must get to in order to achieve salvation. Because Christ did that on the cross. And He achieved in the resurrection, the fulfillment. Called to be saints. Called to be saints. Two things must happen for you to be born again. Two things must happen for you to be born again. First of all, God has to call you. And secondly, you must call on Christ. We know many go through the first step, Matthew 22:14. But not everyone takes the required second step. Many are called, few are chosen. Paul goes on in sanctification by saying we're called to be saints. That's a concept that's hard for me to grasp. When I examine myself, I see my works and I say then there's no way I can be a saint. But then I remember that I was not saved by my works. I was not saved by my Bible study or by my baptism. Not saved by baptism. Saved by faith. So my salvation is not maintained by my works. These things were free gifts of God. And I'm called to be a saint by the free gift of God. Paul ends his greeting by saying, "Grace and peace." I think that's so important. I think when you get to the point where you know you need peace in your life, you're ready to take another step with God. I think when you get to the point when you look at the turmoil that you've been in and the things that just can't ever seem to get it right, can we? No matter how hard we try, it seems like it just messes up again. You need peace. Peace with God. You gain that through Christ alone. Know yourself as God called. Know yourself kept by God. Called by God, kept by God. To all those in every place who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can call, you are called. If you can call, you're called. Grace and peace to you. God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for the opportunity to be able to share part of God's Word. I thank You, dear Lord, that You have already begun to prepare hearts to receive this message. That, Father, You have reached out through the means of the Holy Spirit, and You've found hearts where that Your Holy Spirit can take a lodging and begin to do a work of sanctification. You can begin to do a work of conforming those men and women into the likeness of Your Son. And Father, I just pray for clarity in the hearts of people who are looking for grace and peace, knowing that God's unmerited favor is so crucial. We just thank You for it, dear Lord. We thank You that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank You that He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And Father, we just thank You for all those things. And I ask, dear Lord, that You continue to challenge us, You continue to love us, and You continue to mold us into the men and the women and the church that You would have us to be. Thank You, dear Lord, for all these things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.